Okay, we're up to Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Zayin. We only have 3 psukim left to this nevuah. Okay, we have 3 psukim left to this nevuah, starting with Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Hinei yamim bo'im num Hashem v'divin nesah. Again, this prophecy, this Perek is all about what's happening at the time of Mashiach, Yimos HaMashiach. Hinei yamim bohim lum Hashem, b'nim v'tzoch ha'ir la'Hashem. The new Yerushalayim will be widely expanded, much larger than it was originally. B'nim v'tzoch ha'ir la'Hashem, mi'migdal chananel ad shar ha'pina. Now, these two places, we don't really know where they are. It's not clear. Maybe, I don't know, not that I saw, but maybe you'll have some encyclopedia. There's a new book on Yirmiyah that came, a new... Rav Levitz is here. He knows about this new sefer on Yirmiyah that just came out. Maybe they have something over there, but it appears that there was a tower called Chananel, which most of the commentators here do not tell us where this Migdal is. And the Shar HaPina is also a gate that literally Pina means the corner, a corner gate. And the new city will be rebuilt, including the area of the Migdal Chananel and the Shar Pina. Seemingly, these two areas were not included in the original Yerushalayim. But when Yerushalayim will be rebuilt in the time of Mashiach, it's going to be a much larger Yerushalayim like it is today. Today, the size of Yerushalayim is much larger than just the old city. And these two areas, which were unknown, will be included in the city. Let's go with the next pasuk. And the measure, the kav hamida, will also go extend further. The city will be extended further. Ad givas garev. Again, this is another place. Okay, this is another place to give us the hill of the Garev, the Nosav Gaosa, and it will go around. In other words, the boundary will not be a straight line, but the boundary will circuit the place called Gaosa. Pasuk Lametes v'chol ha'emek ha'pigarim v'hadeshen, included in the new city will be the Amek of the Pigarim. The Pigarim means the dead bodies. What dead bodies are we referring to? So this is subject to interpretation, but simply means the bodies of Mel of Ashur. 250 years before the Chum Beis HaMikdash, right in the middle of the Bais Rishon, we all know the miraculous story in Sefer Yeshaya during the time of Chizkiyahu, when Melech Ashur besieged Yerushalayim on the night of Pesach. And miraculously, over 800,000 soldiers died. And all of their bodies were just piled along a certain region. And this became known throughout the remainder of Jewish history as the Emek, the Valley of the Pigarim. Okay, a Pegar is a dead body. And the dead bodies that we are referring to are the dead bodies of the soldiers of Ashur, the king of Ashur, when he besieged the city in the time of Chizkiyahu. So these people were lying, the siege was in Yerushalayim. These bodies were outside Yerushalayim. They were laying siege to Yerushalayim. And they were staging in a certain location. This location will one day become part of the new Yerushalayim. Okay, the Hadeshen. What is the Deshen? So there are two interpretations. We'll see this inside in a moment. Either it means it's a description of the bodies of the soldiers of Ashur. They had fat, massive bodies. Deshen means fat. These soldiers were not your ordinary soldiers. These soldiers were massive. Or Deshen means the place where they poured every morning. After every morning, they would clean off the mizbech from the ashes. From the ashes that burned from the previous day. And they would take the ashes outside of Yerushalayim to the place called the Mekom Shefech Hadeshen. This place is a mystery. I heard, I cannot validate if this is true, this is just total nonsense, but I read somewhere, someone claims they have studies that in Geula, the place where Mir Yeshiva is, that entire region, the old Geula is the place of the Mekayim Shefach Hadeshen. That's the place where, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they would bring the ash from the Beis HaMikdash, from the Mizbeach, and pour it there. And pour it there in that area. That was like a dumping ground for the ash of the Mizbeach. Is there any truth to that? No idea. Again, it could be total nonsense, but what the Pasuk of here is saying is wherever this mysterious place of the Beis HaDesh, the place where they would pour the ash, was, will one day become part of the new Yerushalayim. Today it already is. Today it already is, but then I'm talking about you take outside the old city, I guess, and it has a halach naftimina. Halacha nafkamina is that you can eat ma'aser sheni inside the walls of Yerushalayim. Let's say bizman hazeh. Let's say I don't know what the halach is, but let's say bizman hazeh the Beis Hamikdash will be rebuilt. Meher v'yameinu. So you have to eat ma'aser sheni inside the walls. You have to eat ma'aser sheni inside the walls of Yerushalayim. And if you bring a carbon, the carbon of Skotchekalim can be eaten only inside the walls of Yerushalayim. So I'm asking you a simple question. I do not know the answer. What does it mean, Bizman Azef? Everything is the way it is right now. Does that mean you only can eat inside the walls of the old city? When you go to Eretz Yisrael, you go to the old city. So in the old city, that's where you can eat the carbonos. What about in Geula? What about in Sanhedria? What about in the Renaissance? In your hotel? Can you eat ma'aser sheni in the hotel?
And nowadays, what about
Rabot? So all these places. So according to the municipality, it's part of Yerushalayim, right? It's part of the new city Yerushalayim. I don't know. I'm sure it expands all the way out. Kevarachol is also Yerushalayim. No, they don't say Kevarachol. Beis Lechem. In the municipality considers Kevarachol Yerushalayim.
No,
just about Har Chaima.
Okay, so where exactly are the boundaries? I do not know halacha, but over here we're saying one thing is clear, that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there's no question the outer limits of Yerushalayim halacha for Ma'aser Sheni and Kodesh Kalim and for Mitzrayim have to be sent out. Chutz L'Gimel Machanos was only within the walls of what we call today the old city, approximately.
What? Talks in
Sanhedrin, to be Mosifin Alo'ir, you have to do certain things. You just can't expand the wall. You have to sanctify it. You have to bring a carbon toida. You have to do a carbon toida, and you have
Sanhedrin also.
You need a Sanhedrin. You just go, can't go build a wall. You just go, can't go call the contractor and say, okay, let's knock down the wall and make the wall a little bit larger. It doesn't work like that. There has to be a procedure. It has to be with the Sanhedrin. It has to be with the Kuru HaKadosh. It has to be with a carbon toida. And the carbon toida, they would take the breads, the carbon toida, and they would march. They would pace back and forth. So, again, when Mashiach will come, and they're going to rebuild, the Beis HaMikdash, before they get around to expanding the walls of Yerushalayim, Kodesh Kalim can only be eaten within the walls of the old city. But these psukim are telling us that subsequent to this event of the bayis being rebuilt, there's going to be an expansion. And the question is, until where will this expansion go? How far will it go? And these psukim over here are giving us very specific landmarks of how far the expansion will extend. It says Migdal Chananel, which we never heard of before. We don't even know what this is. There's a place called Shar HaPina. There's going to be a place called Givas Gorev. Anyone know who Givas Gorev is? The Gorev Hill, whatever that means. And Go also. And then there's an Amek where Sancheriv, he staged his soldiers when he conquered Yerushalayim, when he laid siege to Yerushalayim. And then there's called the Deshen, the place that used to be the Shefech HaDeshen. Then the Chol HaShedemos, and all of the fields, Lashon of Sod, the word HaShedemos comes from the word Sodeh, Ad Nachal Kidroin, until the Kidroin, I guess we know where that is, right? Now here's something very, Ad Pinas, until the corner of the Shar HaSusim Mizracha, the corner of the gate of the horse on the east side. Now, what was the Shar HaSusim? So we'll see the different interpretations. Very interesting. One of the commentators says that they used to have horse races in the Meadowlands. They used to have horse races. And this is what it says. There was a place of the Shar HaSusim where you would go for entertainment to race your horse. And when Mashiach comes, this will be part of Yerushalayim. All of this will be Kodesh LaHashem, will be holy LaHashem. Okay, Lo Yinoseish V'Lo Yehares LaOlam, it will not be abandoned.
You're talking about Bayis Rishon?
Bayis Shlishi.
When was the horse race?
Bayis Rishon.
Bayis Rishon.
It was a stadium they built where we have the Kaisel. That whole area was a flat area. That was a stadium.
A stadium?
This was before. This was Bayis Rishon where the city was down below.
Okay, I'm not familiar.
Yeah. The Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim wasn't what we consider today Yerushalayim.
The old city wasn't what we call the old city?
Below the southern gates of
Ir David.
That was, and today, and that's today, and the old city, the old city is not. That's outside the walls of the old city. Bayisheni. Okay, Einochanami. A lot of these things are very mysterious. It's not all clear what exactly we're referring to, but it's telling us over here that during the time of the Bayisheni, there were these very specific landmarks. It's very descriptive. It's very specific. And all of these locations are going to be, the new Yerushalayim of the Bayis Shlishi is going to incorporate all of these areas, including the place of the Shah HaSusim, Mizrach Kodesh, Hashem lo yinoseish v'lo yiharesh, Oid li Olam. It will not be abandoned and will not be destroyed forever. Okay, it's very interesting here that the very last, this pasuk that we just saw, we have to go through all the commentators obviously, but this last pasuk includes the Nevuah, of the Bayis Shlishi. I just find it very interesting is that the last thing after all of these psukim describing the glorious days of the Bayis Shlishi, what's going to happen, concludes telling us about the Shar HaSusim, the gate of the horses. From all the things you want to end off with, is tell us that a specific landmark about the horses. The horse is not exactly something that we consider to be so important. Okay, it's a landmark, but on the other hand, you look at the Shira. Kivos sus paro, the whole miracle of paro was the miracle of Yitzias Mitzrayim. The shira of Yitzias Mitzrayim is a lot of it has to do with the horses. We mentioned kivos sus paro berichbo uviforosh of bayam. So maybe there is some connection, is that there is a significance. It's not by coincidence that we just happened to mention the Shar HaSus, and maybe there is something deeper. I do not know what it is. Too many horses.
How many stables? What is the one that didn't say
it? I don't remember the number.
It was unbelievable. I don't know where he stabled all his horses, but obviously. But also, he was held accountable that he went back to Egypt to get the horses.
Right, he was guilty. So maybe there is some significance in that as well. Okay, so these are just some interesting things to keep in mind. Okay, one thing I want to point out over here is that when the pasuk begins, pasuk lamed zayin, this is a very interesting idea. Hinei yamim bo'im nuam Hashem. It's a kivachsif. The word, the entire word bo'im, does not appear in the pasuk. It's something which we read, but it does not appear in the pasuk. What's the significance? Because when it comes to prophecy, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no such thing as the past, the present, the future. It's all the same. Hoya, hoyve, v'yiyah. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says, the way it's written is, Hine behold, yamim nu'um Hashem. There are days. Before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when the Navi is speaking, and the Navi is relating this, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not the future. It's here. Hashem says, I see these days in front of me. Hine behold, yamim, there exists days, Nu'um Hashem. There does exist such a thing. However, when we read this, when we relate to this as human beings, and we take this prophecy and we have to decipher it and dilute it so we can understand it, we can't say that there are days. Right now, that's not the way it looks. Right now, it's not so peaceful out there. It's a dangerous world out there. Memela, we have to inject the word bo'im to remind us the days are yet to come. So the Kuivachsiv over here is coming to dilute the powerful words of prophecy, which by Kadosh Baruch Hu is Hoya Hoya V'yia, to our level. Okay. Also notice that it says here the Kav Hamida. Every time, this is a general idea that every time we describe measuring, it's always with a plumb line. The Kav Hamida is the measuring one which refers to the expansion of Yerushalayim. Let's see over here the Mitzudos David, starting with Pasuk Lamed Zayin. The Nivnit Soha Ir, it's on the Lama Yerushalayim, Tischarev, Mimasha Haisa, Tisrachev, I'm sorry, Tisrachev will be expanded more than what it was in the past, Mimasha Haisa, Vitiyah, Binuya Lios, Kodesh Lashem, and will be built to be holy Lashem, Mimigdal Chananel, at Shar Hapina, Vizel Harecha, Mitzah, Mitzah, Fon Ladarim. It's important here that the Mitzudos Here, what's that noise? The air conditioner on top. It's a very loud noise. What's that?
It's outside.
It's outside? Whatever it is, all right. V'zeu harocha mitzafayin l'darim. This is, doesn't say this in the pasuk, the Mitzudos is deducing that this is referring to north to south from the fact that in the next pasuk goes on to say the east, since it explicitly makes mention of the east in pasuk lamed tes, therefore we can deduce, in pasuk lamed ches, therefore we can deduce that this is referring to, I'm sorry, pasuk lamed tes, it says the mizrach. Mizrach, therefore this is the north to the south. Pasuk lamed ches, v'yatza'oid, v'yatza laima, neged kol ha'recha v'ahu yatza'oid kav ha'mida. There's going to be another expansion. The measuring line will be expanded. Limdoid arkoid, the length, and give us gorev. The yisavev go'osavehim shemos mekamos. These are places which we are not necessarily familiar with today. Pasuk lamed ches v'cholemik ha'pagorim, or the entire valley of the dead bodies. This was a place that was well known to people living during this time. It's where Sanherib staged his siege. And it is on that location where all of his soldiers, his over 800,000 soldiers, died miraculously on the night of Pesach. Gam Yisavev Ho'emek Shenaflu Sham Pigrei Machane Sancheriv V'Hadoshen, the place Mekoyim Shefech Hadeshen Shayim Chutz Lir. This is the place that was known to Klal Yisrael Tam by Yisrishon, where they would pour the deshen, the ashes from the Mizbeach from the previous day. The Chol HaShedemos, the word Shedemos is Loshon of Sode, the Shorish is Shin Dalid Mekoyim HaSodois. Even though in the way it's spelled is with a resh, I'm not sure why there's a resh, but the way we pronounce it is with a dalosh and sadeh. And Nachal Kidron va'imid me'eve mezer on the other edge, and wherever Nachal Kidron is, it's towards that edge. Ad Ad zavish shara asher hasusim boim bo ha'imid. Then the last area on the east is the place where the horses come. Mechal ever mezer bereichev ha'isafa klapi ha'mizrach. On this side, along the width side, towards the east. Kodesh Lashem, he's not giving you, I told you that interpretation of where they had horse races, that's another interpretation. Mitzvah is very simply telling us, is this was the highway. On the east side, there was a highway where the chariots would enter. Kodesh Lashem, kol ha'recha v'ha'orich hazeh yeh kodesh Lashem, kodesh b'kdush so'ir, the entire area, the entire region will be holy to Hashem. Lo yinotesh, me'oz v'hola, lo yi'okev, lo yi'horis, ad oylam, ki lo yichbesha ir oid ha'oyev. It will not be abandoned. The enemy will not conquer this ever again. Let's see Rashi, Pasuk Lamites, Ha'emek ha'pagodim, emek shenaflu sham pigri machanes san cheriv, identical to what the Mitzudos taught us. V'hadoshen, mokoyim shefach hadeshen, shohoye chutz liyushlaim, yosifu kol o'ir, the city will be expanded, v'yachnisu kol zel l'sech t'choy mo'secha, and this area will be included inside the walls of the new Yerushalayim. As we mentioned before, there's a procedure that is necessary in order to give this area the proper sanctity for all of the related halachas, which includes, as you mentioned, a Sanhedrin, and includes a melech, and includes as well a korban toida, where the kohanim would do a procedure of marching with the breads of the toida along the perimeter of the new expanded area. The nevuzu, I see the love of this nevu will happen in the future. Hashedemos. This is a French word which means fields. Let's see the Radak. Radak pasik lamid zayin. Hine yamim ba'oim kari v'kriv v'chloksiv. It's kriv v'chloksiv. V'nis soch ir v'tzer olayma Yerushalayim l'Hashem. Shetia kol yimecha oid l'Hashem v'lo techadiv od. It will be l'Hashem. Anything that's l'Hashem is permanent. Something which is man-made is temporary. If it belongs to Hashem, it's permanent. V'od v'omar shetichadiv v'omar shetichorev ho'ir shetis. Shetis rachad. Is there a mistake in that word? What do you have? I have shetichorev u'ir mimasha ha'isa v'nosan gvul horchavos. I think it means it's a mistake. It should be shetis rachev.
Yeah.
It's a mistake. Shetis rachev u'ir mimasha ha'isa v'nosan gvul horchavos. And here the pasuk is giving us the boundaries. Mimigdal chananel v'ad shar ha'pina ritzon aloymar ad shar ha'ponim until the gate of the ponim v'chein amma b'nevus zecharia ad shar ha'pinim. It's the name of a place. In Chananel, we have no idea what this Migdol is. I want to say a Jewish that it refers to what it says in the next parak. When it comes to Parak Lamed Beis, we're going to have the ma'is with Hananel. Hananel is going to be a very powerful ma'is of emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So maybe the place when it says here Hananel, maybe it refers to that event that we'll come back to this later when we do the next parak and discuss this. But just keep in mind now that the first place that it says in this pasuk about the new boundaries of Yerushalayim, the expanded Yerushalayim, is a place called the Migdal of Hananel. And as far as I have researched this, which is not very much, we have no clue what this Migdal is. Somehow it was known to the people living at the time. But maybe there is more symbolism in why Bedavka it says here Migdal Hananel. Okay, next. The Zohar Gam came Sham Migdal Hananel. The Hananel Shem Yudu Etzlam. It was a name. It was a tower that was known to them. We don't seem to know what it is. The Yonasam Tirgem Pekos. What is Pekos? Anyone know what Pekos means? I don't know what the word Pekos means. Okay, the Yotza Ot Chav Amida. The Kav Mida Kosov, it says Kav Behe, Kinim Zaze Hashem Belosh Nekeva Kamo Tikva Skut Hashoni, the Kori Kav Al Horoiv. So it's a Kuivach Sif. The Kuivach Sif is it says Kav with a Hey, but we pronounce it, it will be the Kavah. But we pronounce it as if it says kav. It's a chivuch sif because sometimes the word kav is used and is also beloshon nikeva. It's tikvas with a saf chut hashani. So therefore, sometimes it's used in the feminine form. Therefore, that's why it's spelt feminine, but we pronounce it masculine. Gorei v'gosa shemos l'mukemos yidum etzlam b'yushalayim oyisam chla. These were places that were known to them. We do not necessarily know these places. V'chol ha'imek. And the entire valley. When they left that, I want to go take a step back. Okay, let's go further. The entire valley. Perusha kitarguma v'chol meishra asar ki ba'amud. It means the entire valley. Perush hadeshen min doshen v'shamein v'tzad loymar machne ashush hayu d'shenim v'rananim. Okay, this was the first interpretation that we explained when we read the pasuk, that when it says doshen is coming to explain the pegorim. It was the amek of the dead bodies. And the next word doshen is coming to explain what was the dead bodies. They were fat. These were massive. These soldiers were not your average soldiers. Each one of the 800,000 soldiers of Sanherif was like the NFL football players, right? They were massive. They took up on the bus at least three seats. massively large. So even, and this it was known, this area was known. V'lefib shutoi perushoi hadeshen, according to the simple interpretation, deshen means, mokam shirach hadeshen v'chutz l'ir, it means the place where they poured out the ash, chutz l'ir, v'chol zayyeh toisefes l'ir, all this will be part of the new city. V'mash etirgim shar hastusim, tra beis reisa d'malka, it says the gate of the horse, of the base reisa d'malka, return to Laimar. So the Targum adds here the word reisa. Reisa comes from the word rots, to race with a tzadi, rots. So the tzadi and the samach somehow are similar in this pasuk. What's the leimar? Mokay merutzas hasusim. Ritzen the leimar. Shar shal yoytzim in a bayamelech u in parasha. Now he says the merutzas means to run. I didn't say races. I saw that over here in the article. He says they had horse races. He doesn't say. It just means over here that that's always a highway. Shal yoytzim bayamelech in parasha v'sham hayederech shave v'sham hayederech shave lemerutzas hasusim. It was a flat place, so therefore the horse, it was a high-speed highway. Okay, it was a highway where you can go at high speeds. And that's where this gate, this massive highway came. People would travel long distances, that's where they would, the highway came to an end. That's the exit. The parking lot for the highway. And over here it says that the derech was the size of a wrist, shehu shivim konim. The size of that area was 70 ris. I'm sorry, it was the size of one ris. And a ris is 70 konim. And a kone is sheish amo vizeres. It's 6 amos, and a zeres means is a small half finger. Half an amo? Okay, so if you make the calculation of 70 times 6 and a half, which is 100 and... 435. What? 435. No, it can't be so much. It's okay. 435. Fine, 435. So it's a very large area. V'asher demos l'fib shutoi hasadois ritzon olaymar roiv hasadois hasmuchos l'ir ata yubar b'chlal l'ir toichachama. All of these things will now be included. All of these will now be included inside of this of the city. Now here it says Kodesh LaHashem, Kodesh Yisrael LaHashem, Kamo Yishamar Lo Yinosech V'Lo Yecharis Oya Amar Kol Ki Mikzas HaTosefes HaZeyeh B'Mikdash Ki Gam Hu Yarchiv Mekoyim Kamo Yishamar B'Nevuas Yiches. So now here he's saying over here a new idea. When it says here Kodesh LaHashem, he's saying that part of the area that has been delineated, has been described here in detail, is not just for Yerushalayim, but it's also going to include the area of Machane Leviyah, like the Har HaBayis, or maybe even actually the Beis HaMikdash itself.
Because the Malbim says that what it is, it's not going to be Chelek Yehuda.
Oh, that's another interpretation. Okay, I was coming to that. That's another interpretation. But the Radak is saying something
that's
different.
That's the Malbim.
The Radak over here is saying, well, the reason why it says Kodesh LaHashem is because it's coming to allude that part, LaHashem always refers to the Machane Shechina. There are three camps surrounding Yerushalayim. There's Machane Shechina, that's where the Beit HaMikdash is. Then there's Machane Leviyah, that's the next area, the next ring. And then there is Machane Yisrael, and that is Yerushalayim. That's Yerushalayim. So here, when you read the Pesukim at face value, you would think, you get the impression, is that the Beit HaMikdash is going to remain where it was. Machane Shechina is going to be exactly where it was. And Machane Leviyah, which means the Har HaBayis, is going to remain the way it was. But the Machane Yisrael, Yerushalayim, that's going to be largely expanded. The Radak is coming to reject that interpretation, because the fact that it says Kodesh LaHashem, and LaHashem has to refer also to the Chelik of Machane Shechina, of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Pasuk here is telling us that the walls, that not only will the walls of Yerushalayim expand, but the actual Beis HaMikdash will be larger, the territory, the ground area will be larger for the Bayis Shlishi than it is now, and likewise Yerushalayim will be larger as well. Lo, and as this explained in Sefer Yecheskel, those last psukim are very, very hard. When I used to give a shiur in Yecheskel, so Yecheskel, we did the whole Yecheskel very quickly, and we got to those parakim. It took months to go through all the details of what exactly the Bayis Shlishi looks like. Today, Baruch Hashem, there are a lot of very good svarim, which depict the best that no one really knows. A lot of it is a big mystery, but the best possible attempt to describe what exactly the Bayis Shlishi is going to look like. Lo yinoseish v'lo yeharetz k'mo Bayis Rishon v'Bayis Sheni shnerasuv zeh b'nin ha'ir v'zeh b'nin ha'bayitz lo yeharetz l'olam. The Bayis Shlishi, we have a guarantee here. This is a very important pasuk, because how, you know, we all have this belief that the Bayis Shlishi will not be destroyed. Prove it. If someone says to you, prove to me from scripture that the Bayis Shlishi will not be destroyed, this is the pasuk. The pasuk here says it's going to be expanded. Lo yinoseish v'lo yehareis, only olam, the Bayis Shlishi will not be destroyed. Now, it says over here, he's going backwards. It says hashe demos. It's spelled with a resh. Ksiv b'resh v'kar b'dal v'yonis v'tirgem ar yosa. It means land, like earth. It means a river. It's an irrigation canal. Okay, so there appears to be a difference of opinion when it says in the pasuk hashe demos. Is the shtemos a word which means fields? Or is the word shedemos mean an irrigation canal? There was some irrigation ditch that was located in this region, in this area, and that will also be included in the new Yerushalayim at the time of Mashiach. Now, I didn't see any midrashim, but my sixth sense tells me that all of these words here are also symbolic. They're all very symbolic of the new Yerushalayim will incorporate within it the accomplishments and of the entire Jewish history. And for example, Hanana, we're going to learn over here in the next chapter, in the next parak, the Maisa, the story with the uncle of Yirmiyahu called Hanana. This next parak, Parak Lamed Beis, is possibly the most significant parak in the entire Sefer Yirmiyah, because it expresses the idea of Emunah. It's a very powerful parak that we'll come into in a few moments. And all of this, basically what it does is, Ani Mamin, you want to summarize Parak Lamed Beis in a few words, all you need to do is take the Rambam, Ani Mamin, Bemunah Shalema, Bevias HaMashiach, V'yaf Al Pi Sheyismaneah, Im Kol Zechakeloi B'chol Yom Sheyavam. That is the synopsis, the summary of Perek Lamed Beis that we're going to read in a few moments. And that story all revolves around a person by the name of Chananel. So I want to suggest Al Derech Drush that being that this place, Mimigdal Chananel, is mysterious, we have no record. I'm not sure, you have to go ask all the big mumchim and those who know what the Yerushalayim looked like in the time of the Bayis Rishon, if there is such a place. It seems not. It seems this has baffled even the greatest experts. What is Mimigdal Chananel? Maybe Al Derech Drush, we're describing here that the new Yerushalayim will be built upon a foundation of, number one, Emunah, faith. Chananel is a code word. It's a code word summarizing the entire Perek Lamed Beis, because it all revolves around him, the person Chananel. Therefore, the new Yerushalayim will be built upon a foundation that Klal Yisrael has created throughout the Golus called faith, Chananel. It's the Migdal, the Tower of Chananel. Now, the Shar HaPina, I don't know. I'm just saying there must be some deeper meaning. It's very clear Emek HaPagarim is one of the most significant events in Jewish history. The story of Chizkiyahu. The story of Chizkiyahu, Chazal say that Chizkiyahu, very few places do Chazal explicitly tell us who was Roy to be Mashiach. We don't have that very often. We have all these traditions, and every generation there's a tzaddik that's Roy to be Mashiach, but Chazal very rarely identify such people. The few exceptions, if maybe the only exception, was Chizkiyahu. Roy hoya Chizkiyahu lihiyos Mashiach. And Sancheriv was meant to be Goig u'Magoig. And the reason why he did not turn into Mashiach is because he failed to sing Shira upon the defeat of Sancheriv. So it was a very powerful moment. The entire story, we can't go through all the details, I don't even remember all the details, but the event in Jewish history of the Klal Yisrael was mamish on the verge of destruction. Sancheriv already exiled the Aseres HaShvatim. He already wiped out the entire region of Yehuda and Binyamin. The only thing left was Yerushalayim, a teeny little city. And Sancheriv came there at night and he says, you know what, let's get a good rest of sleep and tomorrow we'll finish it off. And miraculously, that night was Lel Pesach, and they all miraculously died. The symbolism, the concepts that came out through that event, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can save Klal Yisrael, even in such a matziv, was so powerful, it changed the makeup of Klal Yisrael. It became a permanent part of Klal Yisrael's DNA, and therefore that's what the pasuk over here is saying is v'esa emek habagarim. That also that experience will contribute to the geula of the Bayis Shlishi. Now the hadeshes, if you learn the hadesh refers to the soldiers, so it's all fine and good. If you learn it refers to the korbanos, so then it means the accomplishment of all of the korbanos. What is desh? Desh means you bring a korban and Hashem accepts it. It's consumed on the Mizbeach. When Hashem consumes the carbon, it's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He ate the carbon. The satisfaction or the accomplishments of Klal Yisrael throughout the ages, that's really what Deshen is. Deshen is, we have achieved our goal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we brought a carbon to Hashem, sanctity, HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted it. And the Ash is the proof that HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted our service. Then we have Hashademos, which either means a field, or it means an irrigation canal. An irrigation canal symbolically can refer to the koyach of the study of Torah. Because water, hoy called sami luchu l'mayim, and when you talk about irrigation, it means channeling water from one location to another location. The human input, the human manipulation of water. If water is Torah, so no, Bereishis Bara Elokim. Hashem created the Torah before the Torah existed before Ma'aseh Bereishis. But Torah was given to man to work on, to nurture, to manipulate, not to work with. So when you talk about the concept of an irrigation canal, this concept symbolically represents the idea of a human being's interaction and accomplishment of Hashem's Torah. Hashem gave Torah, but Hashem gave us the Torah to perfect, to work with, to use as a springboard for greater things. That would be something more symbolic of the Hashademos. Nachal Kidron. Now, what happened by Nachal Kidron? Which event happened by Nachal Kidron? Was that by Devorah? Devorah. So that's another major event in the... Egel Arufa was also a Nachal. Nachal Esra. So Nachal Kidron, I believe, was the Maisa of Devorah, if I'm not mistaken, is that correct?
Yeah.
So therefore, that was also a major event in Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is sang Shira. Devorah, Eishes Lapidos, another major event in the history of Klal Yisrael, which contributed to the building of the Mashiach. The Pina Shar HaSusim, maybe we can say the Shar HaSusim refers to the running of the horses, Kiva Sus Paro V'Rechvo V'Rosha Bayam, Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Bayis Shlishi is also built upon the foundation of what Hashem has done for us in Yitzias Mitzrayim, which came to an end when the Egyptians chased after us, the Merutzas HaSusim, as the Mitzvah Radak says, the Merutzas HaSusim, when Paro came with his 600 chariots into the Yam to chase us into the street. But the Maisa, and it says in the Maisa, what happened when Sisera chased Klal Yisrael? I think it says there that the event took place in Nachal Kidron. I think Nachal Kidron. I don't know. Maybe I'm mistaken. Okay, otherwise we have to go. All I'm trying to point out over here is we have over here these psukim. We have three psukim. It's describing what the new Yerushalayim is going to look like at the time of Mashiach. On a very simple level, we have landmarks. We're giving very specific locations, and it's telling us that the Yerushalayim is going to expand. Why is that so important to put in writing in Sefer Yirmiyah? So I just want to say, in addition to the simple interpretation, there has to be a symbolic, a metaphorical interpretation. Each one of these landmarks is really, like you do in Sefer Divrei Hayamim, is a code word for an event in the history of Klal Yisrael which changed our hashkafa, our outlook, in our appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and some of them it seems to be pretty obvious, and some of them still require some research to connect the significance of why they're presented over here. Okay, so that concludes now Perek Lamed Aleph. Now we begin to Perek Lamed Beis. As I mentioned, one of the most important parakim in Sefer Yirmiyah. Here we go. Hadavar Hashachayi. It's very easy. It's more like a narrative. It's not a difficult psukim with different limitations. Everything is pretty straightforward. Hadavar Hashachayi El Yirmiyah Mi'es Hashem B'Bashana Ho'asiris L'Tzidkiyahu Melech Yehuda. In the 10th year of Tzidkiyahu Melech Yehuda, he Hashana Shimone Esrei Shana L'Nevuchanetzar, which happens to be the 18th year of Nevuchanetzar. Now let's recap. Nevuchanetzar, Tzidkiyahu was the king for how many years? 11 years. So this means this was one year before his end. With Tzidkiyahu's last year was the year when the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. Okay, that's idea number one. So here we're holding at 1 year before the Churban Beit HaMikdash. Number two, Yirmiyah, how long did the siege? Was the siege all in Yerushalayim? It says in the Pasuk in Malachim, and it could be said later on in Yirmiyah as well, it was 3 years. The siege lasted exactly 3 years. Asara B'Teves is when the siege began. 3 years before, 3.5 years. 3.5 years before the Churban, which took place on Tisha B'Av. Now, so therefore, if we're holding over here, the siege was approximately 3 years. The siege started in the 9th year of Tzidkiyahu, not in the 9th year. So therefore, and in the 11th year, Yerushalayim will be destroyed. So over here, we're right in the middle of the siege, during a time when no one is leaving, no one is coming. Klal Yisrael is very nervous. Obviously, there's a famine. There's already starvation. There's already problems. Problems because they can't go, they can't come. We're in the 2nd year of the siege. Now, the reason over here we mentioned it's the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. This is just to review some of the numbers. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar. When did Nebuchadnezzar become king? He became king in the 4th year of Yehoyakim. Yehoyakim, after the death of Yoshiyahu, there were a few kings, but the two major kings were, Yehoyakim was king for 11 years, and Sidkiyahu was king for 11 years. In between was the son, Yehoyachin. Yehoyachin was only king for 3 months and 10 days. So his 3 months and 10 days really get swallowed up in the 22 years of Yehoyakim and Sidkiyahu. So 3 years into... Let's go back to Yehoyakim. When did Nebuchadnezzar come to power? He came to power in the third year. In the third year of Yehoyakim, the third year of Yehoyakim, Nebuchadnezzar came to power. So, how many more years are left until Yehoyakim's reign ends? 8 years. It's the third year, and he's only going to be there for 11 years. So, there are 8 years to go. 8 years to go. Plus, then there was only 3 months and 10 days for Yehoyakim, and now 10 years for Tzidkiyahu. So 10 plus 8 equals 18. So it's 18 years into Tzidkiyahu, Nebuchadnezzar, when he gets the following Nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At this point in time, when he's receiving this prophecy, it's the middle of the siege. The army of the Melech Bavel is besieging Al Yerushalayim. The Yirmiyahu Hanavi, here we finally come to the famous words, probably the most famous words in the entire Sefer Yirmiyah. The Yirmiyahu Hanavi Hoya Cholu was imprisoned Bachatzar Hamatara, in his prison cell, in his, what's a good word for this? Matara is the courtyard of confinement. Okay, you can translate this in many different ways, but people know it's in the prison cell, in the dungeon, they call it the dungeon, prison cell. Here in the article, they translate it as the courtyard of confinement. I believe you go in Eretz Yisrael today, they know exactly where this is, at least they claim. I don't know how they can be certain about anything, but at least they claim they know exactly where this is, and you can go on a tour. You go to Yerushalayim, you ask around, you can get a tour, and you can see the Chatzar HaMatarah of Yirmiyahu, exactly where Yirmiyahu was held prison. Asher b'beis melech Yehuda. So now, why was he there? What was Yirmiyahu doing in prison? What was his crime? Why was he there? So the pasuk, next pasuk says, Asher kilaot Tzidkiyahu melech Yehuda lemar. Tzidkiyahu wasn't such a good guy, Tzidkiyahu. If he takes the Navi, puts the Navi in prison, obviously he's not such a good guy. And those jails, Rabbi Yisai, were not like the American jails. It wasn't very comfortable to be in the Chatzah HaMatarah. He said to him, Adu ata nibo lemar. Why did he put him? Because he said to him, why are you giving over prophecy saying, Koyamar Hashem, hineni noisines o'ir hazos, I will deliver this city, biyad, melech bovel, and the hineni melech bovel ulechada. Tzidkiyahu did not like the message, and therefore he silenced. There was no such thing as freedom of speech and freedom of press. That did not exist in Yerushalayim at the time of Tzidkiyahu. It was suppressed. And if you broke the law, you said what you wanted that was not popular, you were put in the dungeon and were tortured. Tzidkiyahu Melech Yehuda lo yimolid miyad hakastim. Tzidkiyahu Melech Yehuda was part of the prophecy. He told him very insulting words that Tzidkiyahu Melech Yehuda will not escape from the kastim, which are the Babylonians. Notice before it says there's Melech Bavel and there's the kastim. These two terms are always used interchangeably, the Melech Kastim and the kastim, but the truth is they're not. They're really very different. They were two different states. They were the state of the kastim and they were the state of the Babylonians, and they joined forces. Nebuchadnezzar was a Babli. Evel Meroidach, his wife, Bava, I think maybe it was a political alliance. He married in order to solidify his malchus, Nebuchadnezzar, he married a kasti. If the queen is from the kastim and the king is from the Babylonians, so then you have a good reign, a good grip on power, because everyone likes to relate to the king and the queen. So if he just married a girl from the Babylonians, so then the kastim, what do we have from this melech? What do we need him for? So he married a girl from the kastim. Now, by the goyim, a child followed the mother, just like the Jews.
No, the
what?
The father.
No, no. So it seems, I don't know why, but this is what it says, that for some reason, that since Evelmer, he was married to a Bekasi, I know, in our halacha, we view a child, the yichus goes after the father, in our halacha. But they weren't Jewish, they were not observing the Torah, and according to their rules, they believed that the child, the nationality of the child, followed the mother, for whatever reason. That's how it is, to follow the mother. Therefore, Evel Meroidach, the son of Nebuchadnezzar, in their laws, was called a Kasti. And that is why Nebuchadnezzar hated his son, because he viewed him to be an outsider. He viewed him to be not part of his lineage. And that's why there was always problems between the Nebuchadnezzar and his son Evel Meroidach. But in any event, I just want to point out we have the Melech, he's called Biad Bavel. And then we call to the Nesh was Melech Yidol Lo Yimol Biad HaKastim Ki Hi Noson Yinosin Biad Melech Bavel. He told him that you will be delivered to the hand of the Melech Bavel, V'diber Piv Al Impiv, and your mouth will speak directly Piv Impiv. Your mouth will speak with his mouth. Which means he will speak with him by mouth. I mean, you will actually speak to Nebuchadnezzar. The Einav es Einav Tirena, and you will see his eyes. Now, it's not clear exactly what this means. We'll read the Mefarshim in a moment, but this is just an expression which means you are going to speak to Nebuchadnezzar, and you're going to see his eyes. Now, seeing his eyes may have been something very frightful. We all know that there are certain people, very great people, people you always say about them, that there's something about their eyes. The eyes of a person are very powerful. They speak by themselves. It can make an impression upon a person. Can make a very powerful impression upon a person. So we hear it could be that Nebuchadnezzar was such a ferocious monster that anyone that just looked at his eyes was terrified. And that's what he's telling me. You're going to have to go and look in his eyes, and that's going to frighten you. Now, what is the significance of Piv al Piv? It's not clear. We'll see in the Farshim. It means basically he's going to hold you accountable for your violating the oath. The reason why we're mentioning the piv is because the reason why Nebuchadnezzar had it in for Tzidkiyahu is because Tzidkiyahu was once friendly with Nebuchadnezzar, and Tzidkiyahu observed Nebuchadnezzar eat a live rabbit, a live animal, which was considered to be disgusting in their standards, and he was afraid that he would tell other people in the world about his bad midos. So he made Tzidkiyahu swear that he would not reveal the secret to anyone in the entire world. Tzidkiyahu did not keep the oath. He violated the oath. He told people about the bad midos of Nebuchadnezzar, and that's why he held him accountable. He wanted to kill him. So here there's a reference, an allusion to this. It says in the Mefarshim, why it says over here, Piv Im Piv. Now, there's also something very interesting about Piv al Piv and Einav al Einav, and that is by the Shunamis, by the Isha Shunamis, Techiyas HaMesim. We also have it by the Asara Haruge Malchus, that when Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, Rabbi Shimon died, when Rabbi Shimon, the first one to die was the Melech, the Nasi, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and then it says in the Kina that Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, he picked up the head of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Question, how could he pick up the head? He's a Kohen, he's a Tameh, becoming Tameh. But whatever the story is, he picked up his head and he put his eyes on his eyes and his mouth on his mouth. So this, what's going on over here? Now also, this is by the Shunamis, it says three things. It says he put his eye, it says there are three things. He put his pel peh, eyes on eyes, and instead of the nose. Elio also. Okay, I have to look at exactly the psukim, but what does it mean over here when it says diber piv and piv inav al inav tirena? There's not a common thing you have in Tanakh of this concept of piv al piv and inav al inav. There has to be something here very deep, and what it is, I do not know, and I leave it for you to figure out and think about.
CPR,
so you want to say it's Tchias HaMesim? Someone to say, I want to say a very interesting idea. In the Asar Rege Malchus, It says there that Rabbi Shmuel, he picked up the head of Rabbi Shimon and he put his pen in Avalinav. What was he doing that for? Why did he do that? What was the purpose of doing this? For someone to say he was teaching us something very important. There was no greater tragedy in the history of Klal Yisrael than the Asara Harugei Malchus. We don't appreciate what this means because we didn't live in that part of history. But this took place approximately, this was basically the Churban of the Churban. It was one thing for the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed. Okay, so there's no Beis HaMikdash. But at least we have a living Beis HaMikdash. We have the Talmidei Chachamim who can guide us, who can guide us and gall us. When the leaders were executed, so it was the end of the end. It's bad enough that there's no Beis HaMikdash, we don't even have anyone to guide us, we all become Yisoymen. So what did he do? He was teaching Klal Yisrael, you still have to have emuna in Techiyas HaNesim. Because the other place mainly we find this idea of Pe'al Pen, Einav al Einav, is by the Shunamis, the Isha HaShunamis, her child, with Eliyahu and with Elisha. Eliyahu and Elisha, they both gave life to a person. And there it says explicitly, he put his eyes on his eyes. So since we find the concept of eyes and eyes, al Pe'al Pe, describing Techiyas HaMesim, likewise, this is what Rabbi Shmuel was teaching Klal Yisrael. Just because they kill Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, don't give up faith. Don't give up. There will be Techiyas HaMesim. There is still hope. Ani mame mun shlema shiyat shetiya Techiyas HaMesim ve'esh shiyale ratzayn me'esh habar yisparach shemo v'yisala zichon elu ad ul me'olam. It's the last ani mame. Techiyas HaMesim. That's what he was teaching us. Now when I was reading this pasuk and preparing, maybe I thought maybe the same idea could apply over here. Maybe there is a Jewish. Here he gave him information, you're going to die, you're going to be delivered in the hand of the kastim, and then maybe we can interpret the pasuk homiletically that v'diber piv im piv v'einav as einav tirena. The Einav es Einav Tirena is a reference to Yirmiyah. I don't know how you read Tirena. I don't know. You have to really fit it in, figure out how to fit it in. It's like, this idea is Tzidkiyahu. I'm telling you the worst news possible. You're going to be given over to Tzidkiyahu. There's going to be a Churban. And you could be misled to believe that that's the end. There's nothing more that can come from you, from Klal Yisrael. Don't despair. There's going to be Techiyas HaMesim. Techiyas HaMesim is yet to come, and that's why we're using this imagery, this traditional mikra. You're going to see Tzidkiyahu, you're going to see Nebuchadnezzar, he's going to frighten you, you're going to talk to him. But there's also a way it can be read, is that you will see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And after Yirmiyah put his pair on the pair of Tzidkiyahu, Einav es Einav Tirena, there was some eye communication, it's an expression of Techiyas HaMesim. I'm giving you bad news, but I'm also telling you, don't give up, there's going to be hope for Klal Yisrael. Nevertheless, Tzidkiyahu did not like what he heard, and therefore he imprisoned Yirmiyahu in the Chatzar HaMatara, in the dungeon. Now we go further.
Wasn't
in
the... one of the Jewish kings that was
Yes, Tzidkiyahu was blinded. He was blinded, Tzidkiyahu. You'll see his eyes, and that says in the Farshim, it says in the Radak, it says that over here, you'll see him, but you're not going to see Bavel. You're only going to see Nebuchadnezzar. You'll see him when you're captured, and then he's going to immediately blind you, and you're not going to see the land of Bavel. So therefore it says, Einav as Einav Tirena, you'll see his eyes to exclude not seeing the land. That is one of the interpretations. There are many interpretations. Okay, now we have one more passage tying it up. Ravel Yolech et Tzidkiyahu, Ravel Yolech et Tzidkiyahu, and to Bavel, Tzidkiyahu will be brought. The Shamiya, and there Tzidkiyahu will remain until Ad Pakti Oysam Num Hashem, until I remember him, Num Hashem. When will Hashem remember Tzidkiyahu? So this is also subject to interpretation. Either it means at the time of Mashiach, Techiyas HaMesim. Or it can mean at Pakti Oysam Hashem means until the time of the Bayis Sheni. That it could be that originally the plan was that Tzidkiyahu would live to see the rebuilding of the Bayis Sheni, but that never happened. He died in exile. Let's see. Ki silocham, ki silochamu esakastim lo satzlichu. And this is an idea which we had many times, is that the reason why you're suffering, you're going to be punished in such a harsh manner, is because you don't take my advice and you do not surrender. We had this before a number of times. The primary message Yirmiyah delivered to Tzidkiyahu at time of the Churban was, don't fight, surrender. If you surrender, you'll be able to live in the land. The Churban will not be as tragic as it has to be. And Tzidkiyahu was an action. He said, no, we're going to fight to the very end and we're going to win. And that's part of his rebellion, and that rebellion was against Hashem's word, and therefore that's why you're going to suffer your fate of being taken to Bavel and being blinded and seeing the Vuchanetzar. It's because Kisi Lochamu Esa Kastim. You are fighting with the Kastim, and Lo Yisatzlichu, and I've told you that you're not going to be successful. So this concludes the entire message that Yirmiyah expressed to Tzidkiyahu, and for this he was punished, he was put in the dungeon, and now, and this event took place in the 10th year of Tzidkiyahu, the 18th year of the Vuchanetzar, the second year of the siege, and now Hashem is coming to Yirmiyahu and giving him a prophecy, which begins in Pasuk Vav, which we'll have to wait, we have to first do the Mefarshim over here in these Pesukim. Let's see over here the Mesudas of Pasuk Aleph. Shemoyne Esrei. Okay, so it says over here, this was in the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar, Pasuk Aleph in the Mitzudos David. Ki Nebuchadnezzar Molach Bedal Yoyakim, he began to, I told you three, because I'm confusing the years with the partial years. Okay, it's 3/4 because you have to calculate the partial years as well. Ki Nebuchadnezzar Molach Bedal Yoyakim, in the 4th year of Yoyakim, who Molach Yud Aleph Shana, and Yoyakim ruled for 11 years. Hare Ches, so that's Cheshanim. Now you'll tell me, what are you talking about? Dalid, in the 4th year, so that's 6, right? That's 6 plus 1 is 7. So where do we get 8? Because it includes the partial years. It includes Nebuchadnezzar b'dalid l'yoyakim. So the 4th year, so the 4th year through the 11th year is 8. I'm sorry, it is 8. So it is 8. Okay, so you have to include the ends. You include the ends, so therefore it's going to be 8 years. Fu molach yud alef shanim, harei ches shanim, v'yachanya b'noi molach gimel chadashim, v'yud yam, v'yachanya son ruled for 3 months and 10 days, and then he was exiled. The acher of molach tzidkiyah, and then ruled tzidkiyah, in Cain, as serious with tzidkiyah, 10 years plus 8 is 18 years. Hoya Yud Ches to Nebuchadnezzar is 18 years to the years of Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, it says over here, Tzarim, he laid siege. Hoya Tzarim on Yerushalayim, ki betes le tzidkiyah, Tzor olecha v'chavshua, bidaf le tzidkiyahu. They laid, because in the 9th year of Tzidkiyahu, they laid siege to the city, v'chavshua b'yud aleph le tzidkiyahu, k'mo shekos b'mlochem beis, like it's Lochem Beis, if it was a 3-year siege. 9, 10, and 11, so different, this was the second year. At this point in time, where was Yirmiyahu? He was imprisoned. He was imprisoned in the jail. Why was he put in prison? Because he said things that he did not want to hear. Because of this, he was in prison. Pasuk Dalid, V'diber Piv, this took place when he was captured. When Tzidkiyahu was captured by Nebuchadnezzar, he spoke with him very harshly. Until the day of death. The Mitzudos learns very similarly. The word Pakti, if you wouldn't see the Mitzudos, you would assume it means that you're going to be there until I remember you. I remember you to redeem you, until I remember the time of redemption to rebuild the Bayis Sheni. But that's not what it says in the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos says until your day of death. The day of death is called the Yom Pekida, the day of reckoning. Shebekudas Kol Chai, it's the day of HaKadosh Baruch Hu visits every living person and brings about his death. Ki silochamu, im tilochamu lo satzlichu. If you're going to fight, you're not going to be successful. Chilu amar lochein kiblu aleim shibud ba'ol bovel v'yal tulchamu, therefore accept upon you the yoke of Yovel, and do not fight. Let us see Rashi. Rashi starting with Pasuk Beis, Tzarim Loshen Motzor, a siege. V'chatzar ha-matara, l'shoin Beis ha-mishmar, it means a prison. The word matar comes from the word noitzer. Noter means to nitira. Look at the mitzudos tzion. Hamatara kein nikra beis wasurim ki yaser beis hamishmarchem targum unkelis mitar tuchain. So therefore, we see that the word the matara is an Aramaic word. That perhaps is also symbolic. Is that we don't have a, whenever you have a word in Aramaic, it always means diluted. There's always a dilution. It's not potent. A word in Lashon Kodesh is strong. The fact that it says Chatzah HaMatara may have some connotation is that a person should never really feel that he's imprisoned. You have to realize that it's softening the intensity of the harshness. There's nothing greater, there's no greater tzara than being in prison. For no good reason, of course. For no good reason, that's a very great tragedy. We say in davening, matir asurim. Okay, that's what we say in davening, matir asurim. So here it says matara. This interesting idea is that we what? As a prisoner. Matir means to release. It means to release. To release, I'm not saying that to release a prisoner. So what is a prison? A prison is a mishmar. It says by the mekoshesh. They put the mekoshesh in a mishmar. By mishmar. And to know what Hashem wants to. So why didn't the pasuk here use the word chatzar hamishmar, hamishmeres? Why didn't he use the word mishmeres? Why didn't he choose the word hamatara? So first, what is the word matara? So we learn over here very fast. The word matara is not even a Hebrew word. The word matara is an Aramaic word. So the question is why? Why did the pasuk choose this? Probably, I tell you, one of the most famous expressions about Sefer Yirmiyah, the chatzar hamatara. Yirmiyah was persecuted. He was abused. He suffered, and he was put in the. How do we know he was suffered? The classic example is he was thrown into the dungeon. And what's the dungeon? The chatzar hamatara. The word chatzar hamatara is not even a Hebrew word. Chatzar hamatara is an Aramaic word, and in the entire Sefer Yirmiyah, 99% of Sefer Yirmiyah is in Hebrew. So why are we selecting a word that's in Aramaic? There must be some significant meaning for this. So maybe Aramaic is the Lashon of Golos. Whenever a person's in prison, I don't know, I'm just thinking out loud. I'm thinking out loud as something to think about the significance of taking this word and using the word Matara and not using the word Mishmar. Okay, next.
But the Targum doesn't...
Not here.
Right. Not here.
Not here, right. But it's saying, but where does this word come from? Okay, let's go further in the Mitzudos. Rashi, based on Mishmar, the next Rashi is Ad Pokti Oso Pikudas Kol Adam Hi Hamisa until the day of death. You're going to be there until the day of death. Let's do the Mitzudos, the Radak. Radak, Pasakav, Hadavar, Mavurhu. Everything is self-explanatory. The Radak says you do not need to provide commentary. Tatamu Nimshach Ad Via Yirmiyahu, and this goes into Pasak Vav. Kidivar Hananel Hu Shahoye Ela Bishano Hasiris. The matter of Hanan took place in the 10th year. And after HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him the message, he told the message to the people who were guarding him in prison. In other words, the question is the Radak over here is coming to point out a very important point. To whom was Yirmiyah speaking to? If Yirmiyah indeed is in prison, who's listening? The answer is, that's right, the prison guards. There was no one really listening to him other than the people that were in the prison. The prison guards was a very, very small audience. But yet, look, we have it here today. There's an infinite amount of information that's been lost from us. But we know exactly what Yirmiyah said to the people in the Chatzar HaMatra. That at least has been preserved. Maybe he preserved it, he wrote it down. Whoever wrote it down, Yirmiyah wrote it, but we have it. Bechatzar HaMatra, Bechatzar Shayu Nishmorim Shem Hasum, the prisoners, Matra Shura Shay Notar Inyan Shemira, Kmo Hayin Tar Le'olam. Seemingly, the Targum, this is what I remember from preparation, is that the Radak is coming to disagree with the Targum. He's saying Hayin Tar is a Hebrew word. It's not an Aramaic word. It's a Machlaikis, we Rishayin. machlekes, the mitzudos, and the radak, is it a Hebrew word or an Aramaic word? And the word over here is notar, means to guard. Inyin shmir k'may hayintar li'olam. Hashem, will you guard your anger? Will you guard your anger forever? V'targum v'yasov v'samel ha'mishmar l'beis matra. Then he does indeed quote, he quotes the word of the Targum. The Targum says l'beis matra. Okay, next radak. Ha no, you're going to be delivered. Ha no son. Ki hi no son mikar b'cholem. The word is with a cholem no son. Tinosein v'chein hi no son tinosein. The im he ochol yochel. Period. Ad pakti. So everyone here has the same opinion that when it's over here in the Yopakti, it refers to the day of death. Alright, so we're up to Pasuk Vav, where we begin the Nevuah, and Mir Tashem, this will continue tomorrow.